Welcome to Living Free Today, a ministry of Cornerstone Fellowship, San Lorenzo, California. Today's message is entitled, Those Who Have Not Seen Yet Believe, from the books of John chapter 20, verses 26 through 29, and the book of Psalms chapter 27 and 65, verse 1 through 4. This message was preached on October 1st, 2017. We hope you enjoy this message by Dr. Michael Wilson.
If you would turn with me, please, in your Bibles to John chapter 20. We are looking at verses 28 and 29. And if you look at your Bible, especially if you have a red letter Bible, you see that chapter 20 kind of ends the book. You could end John the book with chapter 20, verse 30, 31. It's a nice little conclusion, wraps it up in a nice little bow. But then you have chapter 21. And one way that all of my seminary professors would look at it this way is that chapter 21 is an epilogue, that the story of Jesus Christ and his crucifixion takes place in the first 20 chapters. And then the question of what happened to Peter, because Peter denied Christ three times and then hasn't been seen since. And Peter's story, which is a story of redemption, which is our story, is chapter 21, which is like an epilogue. If you remember the old TV shows like Streets of San Francisco, they would always wrap things up after the last commercial with an epilogue where they would tell what happened to the criminal or what happened with things. And that is what chapter 21 is. It is inspired. It is part of Scripture. It is in the earliest manuscripts. But it is a epilogue. It is a final story about redemption. And what Jesus is saying in verse 29 is that he is saying to Thomas that it's great that he believed because Thomas saw him, but blessed are those who have seen and not yet believed. And when we think of how this occurs, how we 2,000 years later have come to a knowledge of Jesus Christ, one word that comes to mind is legacy. There has been a legacy of Christianity. There has been a legacy of prayer for 2,000 years. John, the author of this gospel, actually had disciples. One of them was named Polycarp, who became a bishop. Polycarp had a disciple whose name was Origen. Origen is the one who coined the phrase Trinity. You say, why do we use the word Trinity? Because it's not found in the Bible. It was John's disciple's disciple. And then Origen had disciples, and then they had disciples, and they had disciples. Passing on the legacy of Christianity. When we think of legacy in our modern world, we sometimes think of those who have passed on. There have been multiple celebrity deaths over the last couple of months, and we think of somebody like Jerry Lewis. And when Jerry Lewis passed away, the movie channels and the news channels were discussing his legacy of comedy, his legacy of bringing slapstick and goofy sort of comedy into the movies, and how this comedian was inspired by that, and how this comedian built upon that, and how this comedian imitated that and then became their own. And so when we look at legacy, it actually has two parts to it. It is first a remembrance, how we remember somebody when we think back of a president that perhaps that impacted your life in a speech or something. Perhaps President Reagan, who has passed on, we can say what we remember about that man, and that would be his legacy for us. And if he did things in the nation, and we know that Reagan stood up there and said, tear down this wall, and the Berlin Wall came down under the leadership of President Reagan, and we can say that is his legacy. It is a remembrance of how we remember him, but a legacy also has another aspect, and that is it is a stepping stool or a stepping stone. Legacy lifts something up and leaves it there, and then if we want to stand on top of that and perhaps have our own legacy, then it can go up here. And so we look at perhaps the freedoms that have come and the change in German policy and government that was built upon the tearing down of the wall. We can look at various comedians who say they probably would not exist if they didn't have Jerry Lewis to stand on. And when we look at you and me, we may be able to see a train of parents or grandparents or aunts or uncles or great-grandparents, definitely back to the people who first came to America to bring the gospel of Jesus Christ and worship God correctly and fully and completely. And it is upon their legacy that we stand. We do not, when we come to church every Sunday, open the Bible as a new book that we've never seen before. We don't have to sit here and try to figure out what John is about every Sunday. We come here with a knowledge because people have studied and written and taught, and I have been taught. And when I think of my legacy of why I'm in this pulpit, we have the legacy of my parents, my godly parents. We have the legacy of Jack Wine, the pastor of this church and the teachers in this church. And we have the legacy of Redwood Camp and Mount Hermon that gave me very early teachings in Christianity that wasn't from my parents. And sometimes you need that. Sometimes you need to be told things that are not from your parents, but from a godly stranger, as it were. And it is from that that I came to knowledge in Jesus Christ. And then I read books of great theologians, of Spurgeon and of Edwards and of Finney, great theologians of the past, and I stand upon their teaching, so I don't come with no knowledge. I come, in theory, hopefully, building my knowledge every week upon what has been done before, so that when I say my legacy that I leave behind, and this is a game that you can play. You can draw a little gravestone on a piece of paper, and what do you want written on your gravestone? What do you want that one phrase for people to remember when you are gone, and hundreds of years from now, as people wander through the graveyard and they say, oh, here's an interesting phrase. Wow, that person was really a blank. And that would be you, and you can think that I want this or that, but if you can't play it seriously too early. Even now there are people who are trying to say what the legacy of President Trump is or will be, but that's way too early. You really, truthfully, have to wait until they're dead and gone so they can't do any more stuff. But if you want to know the legacy of famous people, you can always watch late night comedians and the jokes that they throw out about people who are gone or out of office now. That is their legacy, what the common person thinks. And you can actually say, I want this legacy. I want to be known as a prayer warrior, perhaps, since we're talking about prayer this month. And you say, okay, what are the steps that I'm going to take to become a prayer warrior? And see, that's the difficult part of forming your own legacy. You can just live your life randomly and hope that at the end of time, people will think fondly of you. Or you can say, I want to be remembered this way, and I'm going to do these 5 things, these 10 things, so that when I am old and gray, people will think of me as this. And that is something that we can do to fulfill Scripture. That is something that we can do to support the church. Jesus says in 29, "Blessed are those who have not seen, yet have been believed." And people call that John's Beatitude, because he starts a sentence with the word blessed. And in Matthew, there's that whole list of blessed are this, blessed are that. And those are called the Beatitudes, the Be Blesseds. And this is the one time John says, quoting Jesus, that there are a group of people who are truly blessed. And that is you and me. That is everybody who, after the ascension, who didn't see Jesus. And so Paul doesn't count, because Paul saw a vision of Jesus. Jesus appeared to him on the road to Damascus. But all those people, after the first level of apostles were gone, and churches were being planted, and people were being born into a world where Jesus had already come and gone, building on the legacy of what Paul and Silas and Barnabas and Timothy did in planting these churches. And generation after generation, year after year, as nations grow and nations fall, Christianity keeps marching on. And God saw through the annals of time you. And He said, "I am going to get the gospel to you, no matter what it takes." And He did. And you, in response to that, are what we would call saved. And that is the legacy of John. That is the legacy of Jesus. The legacy of Jesus is a people that He can call His own. That is a legacy that is talked about in the oldest part of the Old Testament. And so as Christians, we have a legacy as a church to make sure that as people come and people go and people get too infirm to come and people pass on, that whoever comes next will know that this is a Bible-believing, Bible-preaching church, and that the Word of God will continue in this building. You also personally can have a legacy. And the question is, will you this month be part of a legacy of prayer? Let us pray. Lord God Almighty, we just thank You for this day. I just pray that those who are here today, that You will give them a special poke in their spirit to take seriously the legacy of prayer, that for 31 days, if we all pray in one accord, You will in fact do a new work. Lord, we thank You for this. We thank You for the privilege of prayer, and ask that as we preach about prayer, as we study about prayer, and as we pray, that Your will become known and that You will in fact do a new and mighty work. Lord, we praise You for that, and we praise You that it is all possible through the death and resurrection of Your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Thank you for listening to Living Free Today. This has been a ministry of Cornerstone Fellowship located at 180 Llewellyn Boulevard, San Lorenzo, California, 94580. Email us for more information at info@livingfreetoday.org. Our website is www.livingfreetoday.org. Our telephone number is 510-278-2622. If you're looking for a church, come visit us on Wednesdays at 4 p.m. for Bible study and at 10:45 Sunday morning. God bless you as you live daily in His presence. This has been Deacon Luis Ramazzini, Living Free Today.